Today's edition of the Derek Hunter Podcast is brought to you by Ancient Life Oil.
What is Full Spectrum CBD? Full Spectrum CBD is all the cannabinoids, which in turn gives you major effectiveness. CBD isolate is much less effective than Full Spectrum CBD. No herbicides, no pesticides, pure organic, non-GMO, Full Spectrum CBD. Where do you get the good stuff? At AncientLifeOil.com. That's AncientLifeOil.com. Buy CBD tinctures that work. That's AncientLifeOil.com.
Alrighty, hello again everyone and welcome to it. It is the Derek Hunter Podcast for the 14th of October 2021. Happy Thursday to you, as they say over in Ireland. Thursday. Huh? Like a turd day? What? I don't know. Anyway, I'm Derek Hunter. I am your host. Thank you for listening. Thank you for the support. Rating and reviewing on iTunes, all that good stuff. Sharing on social media. Telling your friends, family, threatening coworkers. I don't want to know the details. I just appreciate the effort. And lack of implication as far as any major felonies or even serious misdemeanors. Don't forget about the Curse program at patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast, where you can... You want another Kit Kat? It's Quinny here. Quinny, say hi to everybody.
Hi.
Quinny has been stuffed up all day and had a little bit of a fever. Are you feeling better?
Yeah.
I don't know that I believe you, but I'm glad. I will get you a Kit Kat in a second. Let me finish what I'm doing here, and then I'll go get... Yeah, you can have it. You can have it. Chocolate kiss. Take it away. Kids today, I've been paranoid dealing with this going, just break. Alrighty, Bailey was stuffed up yesterday. She's still stuffed up today, but seems to be better today. So I'm hoping that Quinn will be following the same trajectory. They've had two baths just because, I don't know, her fever was like 101. And I'm just hyper paranoid. Anyway, you can go to patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast, enter to win the signed copy of the book, this week's book, Unmasked, Big Media's War Against Trump, signed, autographed personally by Brent Bozell, or L. Brent Bozell, and the great Tim Graham. One winner will be chosen after Sunday at noon. So you got till Sunday at noon to go and enter. And the Curse program, the Week in Effin' Review, getting rave effin' reviews. Well, I don't think iTunes would appreciate that. At patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. All this stuff, plus more posts and everything. For $5 a month, you can't beat it. It helps me, actually. So I appreciate the hell out of it. And any help you can throw our way is good. Anything else? No? Just telling you to go to ancientlifeoil.com, get your Ancient Life Oil, the CBD oil, the best CBD oil in the business, 100% pure organic CBD oil, certified non-GMO, pure stuff. Man, it's the good stuff. This is what Keith Richards would do if he did CBD oil. That is ancientlifeoil.com. Different flavors, different strengths, all you need. And they have great sales right now, great deals, great specials. And you enter promo code Derek at checkout, D-E-R-E-K. Click apply. You get free fast shipping on top of everything else. AncientLifeOil.com. Thanks to them. Thanks to you. Now, I promise, no more talk of snot. No more talk of anything except the news of the day. Lots going on. Tons of things to talk about. And you sit there and you're just looking at these people going insane, having conniption fits, airlines. It's weird watching leftists get excited that people are losing their jobs. I mean, it wasn't enough that 4.3 million people resigned from their jobs last month. 4.3 million people quit their jobs. Now, is it all because they just woke up one day and said, you know what, I feel like this job is not for me? Suddenly, collectively, they all went down that path the same day. I don't really think that they did that on the same day or in the same month. I think it has something to do with government mandates. Not, you know, you have to wear a hairnet while making a sandwich for somebody. Not those kind of mandates, but the shot mandates. That's just me. But they don't care. Democrats celebrate this. Democrats want more of this. The CEO of United Airlines was on CBS this morning. And he told them that out of their 67,000 employees, there are 232 haven't been vaccinated. And they're going through the termination process right now. He's very proud of the fact. Yeah, well, yeah, we're firing 232 people. This is awesome. This is awesome. Other airlines, now I don't know if those numbers check out. Those numbers seem exceedingly high, unless United Airlines doesn't hire black and Latino people, because that's who is the highest percentage of Americans who are not vaccinated. And it's entirely possible that they don't. I don't know their demographics. But their CEO is a white guy, so you never put anything past a shifty white guy. But in other airlines, there's 10%. Of their employees. And it's not just pilots. It's not just flight attendants. It is also the people who work the gates. It is the maintenance crews. It's everybody behind the scenes that you see running around wearing an orange vest. These people have this mandate imposed upon them, not by the federal government, at least not yet. And this is what's amazing to me. As these CEOs, like the United Airlines CEO, wraps themselves in, well, this is a government mandate, we have to do this. And even the Southwest CEO say, well, we wouldn't, I don't really like mandates, but we got to follow the government mandate. No, they could challenge these things. They could easily challenge these things. They have pretty deep pockets at these airlines. May not seem like it because they're often teetering on bankruptcy, but they have pretty deep pockets at these airlines. They could do a great many things. They could at least try. They could at least not impose the mandates until there is an actual mandate in place. And right now, despite what you hear on the cable networks and everything, there are no mandates in place. The federal government has yet to impose a mandate. They are working out last night, actually, for the first time, finally, OSHA got around to finalizing their language to impose this mandate. Now, lawyers speak, they're trying to find a way to thread the needle and make what the president wants done legal. Whether or not they succeed is a matter for the courts to decide. But the lawyers over at OSHA did their job, finally. Up until this point, what this mandate has been a press release from the Biden administration saying, this is what we want, and this is how we want it. Now that, you know, this will go and it'll be, it's still at least a couple of months away from, or at least a month away from becoming the actual law of the land. It has to be published in the Federal Register before it can go into effect. It'll take a while to review it. Other bureaucracies will have to weigh in. And instead, the airline industry and a whole bunch of industries just said, we're in. We're in. We will comply. We shall do your bidding. Do your worst, sir. We shall take it. It's amazing. It's amazing to me. Meanwhile, there are some people out there, unlike Southwest CEO. I don't like mandates. Well, then why are you complying with one that isn't even in place yet? And why aren't you challenging? If you don't like it, from a personal liberty standpoint, why don't you challenge it? Why don't you do something about it? Instead of saying, I don't like this, but what are you going to do? That's not super helpful. Not going to inspire a whole lot of people as a leader. But there are people out there who will. For example, the Los Angeles County Sheriff, Sheriff Villanueva, he has announced publicly that he's going to defy the Biden administration's order, especially since it's not in place, but he's going to defy the Biden administration's order, saying that he's not going to fire, because he will lose 5 to 10% of his employees. And he's not going to shorthand himself. He's not going to paint himself in that corner. These airlines, I'm not really sure what they think is going to happen, but if you have 1,000 pilots and you lose 100 pilots, That's a pretty big percentage of your workers. Your only real option to get anybody immediately because it takes a long time. You can't just go, well, I took a course at the Learning Annex. I'm ready to fly a 727. That ain't how it works. You have to have thousands and thousands of hours flying, training. That's why so many of the airline pilots are former military. They come right out and they've got the certifications. They can become pilots. Well, if you're Southwest or United or American Airlines, you're going, well, we're going to lose a couple thousand pilots. Where are you going to get them? Where are you going to get them from to replace them? Are you just going to scale back your business? Because if you're saying, well, we've always gotten them from the military, we'll go to the military. Well, you got a problem there. The people being drummed out of the military are being drummed out of the military because they won't get the shot. If you're getting rid of people because they won't get the shot, and then your pool of replacement is people who won't get the shot, I'm not really sure that is going to be a very effective plan. Instead, the L.A. County Sheriff, Villanueva, has a better plan, has a better idea. Listen to him. He lays it out common sense. As most sheriffs, they don't sit around and go, whoa, here's my very nuanced answer. If you get a nuanced answer from a sheriff, you're dealing with a progressive act of a sheriff you don't want anything to do with. Here's L.A. County Sheriff Villanueva explaining his decision.
Are you forcing your officers to set the vaccine, to get the vaccine? As I said, no, I'm not forcing anyone. The issue has become so politicized, there are entire groups of employees that are willing to be fired and laid off rather than get vaccinated. So I don't want to be in a position to lose 5-10% of my workforce overnight on a vaccine mandate, while at the same time our bare bones with the funding effort. So this is like the worst of two worlds right here. So we have to pick and choose.
Yeah. Can't bare bones with the defunding effort, by the way. Los Angeles is one of those left-wing areas that said, we will defund the police. My goodness, in the name of justice, we must defund the police. Are also one of those areas that are seeing murder rates skyrocket, violent crime skyrocket, all sorts of problems out there in the Los Angeles, actually up and down the West Coast, but in particular, the major city areas. This story is amazing. Speaking, since we're on the topic, this New York Post story. We've all seen the footage of dudes going into Walgreens with bikes and going into CVS with bikes and garbage bags and just filling things up. Just absolutely filling things up and going crazy. They don't care. And nobody stops them. They film them. It's weird. Security guards, what's your job as a security guard? Well, to film crime. Why? In the hopes of maybe catching them later? I don't really know. Well, New York Post, Walgreens is closing 5 more San Francisco locations as drugstores from the Bay Area to the Big Apple are besieged by rampant shoplifting and lax enforcement by law enforcement. San Francisco shoplifters have been emboldened by a referendum that lowered the penalty for stealing goods worth less than $950 from a felony to a misdemeanor. Cops and prosecutors have said. A spokesperson for the company confirmed the latest closure to the San Francisco gate. Quote, organized retail crime continues to be a challenge facing retailers across San Francisco, and we are not immune to that, said Walgreens spokesman Phil Caruso. Retail theft across our San Francisco stores has continued to increase in the past few months to 5 times our chain average. During this time, to help combat this issue, we increased our investment in security measures across the store, across stores across the city to 46 times our chain average in an effort to provide a safe environment. The retailer had previously shuttered 17 stores in San Francisco during the past 5 years. Now, that's amazing. What does this mean? Now, under normal, healthy circumstances in a functioning city, in a functioning society, they wouldn't be closing these things. Because it's not because they can't be profitable. It's that they aren't profitable, and they're made not profitable by decisions worthless politicians make. And the decision is, we are not going to enforce the law. That's kind of a problem. Think about it. Now, you would, I assume, look at a situation where they say, well, you can go ahead and rob the hell out of things And I wouldn't do it. I don't think you would do it either. But at some point, as you watch everybody and everything fall apart, you see people taking and just grabbing what they want. And you're sitting there paying for it like a sucker. There comes a point where you're like, what the hell? Why am I wasting my time? Why am I the only one doing this? And so you'd probably break. I would too. You know, what the hell with it? I'm not going to wait. I'm not going to be the only person paying for this crap. Once you let society start to deteriorate, it's a pretty slippery slope. Now, right now, it's contained in pockets of left-wing policies and politics. But it's only a matter of time before it spreads if it is not quashed. And it should be quashed. For the love of God, it should be quashed. Will they? Can they? I don't know. I don't think Democrats look at this and go, this is a problem. Except in terms of this is a problem that could cost us elections. They look at people being beat. I mean, they looked last year at people being beat up, their businesses being destroyed, cities being decimated, neighborhoods being never going to recover, certainly not in our lifetimes. And they didn't see a problem with it. They saw the fight for justice. My goodness. Yes, we're all in this fight for justice. I don't know how you can look at that and think that. I don't know how you can look at that, think that, and live with yourself, but that's how the left is. They don't give a damn. The individual is disposable. They're garbage. So when you sit there and you watch Walgreens get out of it, it's not just, well, there are probably 15 employees per Walgreens. They're going to be out of work. Think about everybody who, what do we hear all the time from the media, from the Democrat politicians in these cities like Baltimore, like Chicago? Well, we got food deserts. We've got drugstore deserts. We've got a problem here where people can't get to, when we were rolling out the vaccine, what was it? Well, there's an access problem. They're putting these things at Walgreens and CVS's and Rite Aid's, and not everybody has one of those in their neighborhoods. Well, there's a whole huge section of San Francisco that has even fewer of those in their neighborhoods now. Beginning to see a problem? How many people within walking distance of these things, and people, yes, San Francisco is wildly expensive, but people have lived there for years and years and years. They own places there. They didn't buy when the tech boom came in and drove up prices through the roof. They're older now. They need prescription drugs, I would bet. Where are they going to get them from now that these Walgreens are closing? And if you think CVS is going, boy, howdy, we can really corner the market. And they're, no, they're facing the same problem. You think the robbers are going, well, we're just going to hit Walgreens. We like CVS. My grandma shops at CVS. We're not going to go after CVS. No, they're going to go after wherever the goods are. That's what people with no conscience do. That's what sociopaths do. They don't give a damn. It's problematic. And these people, these politicians, these prosecutors are making it worse. These Democrats are making it all worse. And they don't give a damn. They don't care, which is amazing to me that somehow they got they gave themselves the reputation that we're the only ones who give a damn. You're not the only one. You don't give a damn at all. You're sick people. You're corrupt people. Something fundamentally wrong with all of you. Seek help, for the love of God, or at a minimum, just leave us the hell alone. So it's not going to be pretty when the pushback finally comes. I want to, while you got the sheriff out in Los Angeles saying, we're not going to go after this man. We're going to lose 5 to 10% of our, we're not going to do that. We're not going to screw ourselves into a corner. The White House is talking about vaccine mandates. Ginger Goebbels herself, Jen Psaki, she made a declaration yesterday that, again, you have to wonder, do liberals hear themselves talk? Do they? Maybe there's no way they couldn't hear themselves talk, but maybe the echo in their cavernous, vacant skulls is just too much that it throws them off. Jen Psaki was asked about mandates and who has control and whatever. And her answer, she said that, federal law supersedes any and all state law, basically, which is news to everybody, in the country who's ever read the Constitution, which sadly is a dwindling number of people. But it is also news to, I'd assume, all of those liberal mayors and governors across the country who have been sanctuary cities over the past decade or two. That now, because they argued under Donald Trump when he was trying to cut off funds to them for aiding and abetting the ongoing illegal activity of illegal aliens, he tried to cut off funds, and they said, no, 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 you can't do that. We have jurisdiction over what is here, and you can't do anything about it to punish us, to hold us to account in any way, shape, or form. It's really asinine, but that's what they were arguing. That's what all Democrats were arguing, and they cheered as they won. So now that's turned on its head when it comes to vaccine mandates. It would be nice if somebody in the White House press pool had any sense of even not maybe not long-term history, but history of a couple years ago, because they could ask about this, but they won't. Anyway, listen to Ginger Goebbels make this case that federal law supersedes all state laws, except apparently on immigration policy.
Texas, what is the president's message to businesses in Texas? You mentioned several of them who are based there.
Yeah.
When it comes to what the federal guidance is now, and now with the state executive order, what would the president say to those companies as they're determining what they should be doing right now for their vaccine mandates?
Well, we know that federal law overrides state law. I would note that earlier when we put out our guidance on the president's announcement about mandates several weeks ago, it made clear that, again, as I said earlier, requirements are promulgated pursuant to federal law and supersede any contrary state or local law or ordinance. Additionally, nothing in this guidance excuses noncompliance with any applicable state law or municipal ordinance. We put out guidance several weeks ago conveying that clearly. But fundamentally, beyond the legal aspect, which is unquestionable in our view, the question for any business leader is, what do you want to do to save more lives in your companies?
They're so good at messaging, and Republicans are so bad at messaging. I mean, yes, it's garbled in there. We supersede everything. We're the best. We're the mostest. We're the hostess with the mostest. You can't tell us what to do, blah, blah, blah. Okay, fine. But what about immigration? Nobody will ask her that. She can function in relative comfort knowing that no one's going to ask her that. And then she just goes on to say, well, what side of this do you want to be on as a company? Do you want to kill people? You're free to go and kill people if you want as a company, but we don't think that's good policy. They frame it as you are either on the right side of history or operating a gas chamber at Auschwitz. Now, it's a complete straw man garbage choice. It's not even really a choice. It is a scam. But they get away with it because they're in a room full of friendlies and nobody's going to ask them. Nobody says, what do you mean? There are personal liberty issues here. There is an issue. When was the last time in a White House press briefing you heard anybody ask about natural immunity? When was the last time you heard anybody talk about it? You don't hear about it ever. So you're sitting there and you're going, these people have the best of both worlds. They get it both ways. They get it coming and going, except they're giving it to us coming and going. That's a problem. That's the problem. It's the double standards that I hate anyway. Since we were speaking about how liberals ruin everything and liberalism ruins everything and people, like when you think of the Rolling Stones, right? When you think, oh man, they're rock and roll guys. They don't care. I'm re-listening to the audiobook, Keith Richards' Life. Great, great stories. It's an amazing book. A hell of a stories in there. But you think they're a rebel. They're going to give, a finger to the society, to the norms, to the this, to that, to the sensitivities. They're not going to hear any of this crap. They're not going to take it. We're the Rolling Stones. That's what they were, the bad boys of rock and roll. Well, now they're the conformists of the nursing homes. I mean, it's a very expensive nursing home, but they're the conformists there at the retirement community. They're not down in the villages. They probably own the villages, but New York Post has the story. The Rolling Stones retired one of their most popular rock songs due to lyrics that depict the horrors of slavery. Yes, the Stones have not played the 1971 hit Brown Sugar on their current tour and said the blues classic has been removed from their set list. You picked up on that, huh? Keith Richards, 77, responded to the LA Times when asked if the Stones had cut the second most performed tune in their catalog amid a climate of heightened cultural sensitivity. I don't know. I'm trying to figure out with the sisters quite where the beef is. Don't they understand that it was a song about the horrors of slavery? But they're trying to bury it. The first verse, that's Keith. That's my bad Keith. Or Keefe, I should say. The first verse of the hit song depicts slaves being sold and beaten in Louisiana in reference to a slaver who whips women just around midnight. But you can't. You can't even come out and be anti-slavery anymore. That's the modern left. No. You can't even talk about it. Do not talk about it. Unless you went through something, you don't understand the horrors of slavery. Well, you know, everybody, actually, if you really want to play this tribal game, has gone through the horrors of slavery. But we all have one thing in common right now. It's the tie that binds us. No one alive today in this country was a slave. Not in this country, anyway. And no one alive in this country today was a slave owner. Not in this country, anyway. So if you have a protest song, a song that's anti-slavery, or what is next? Are we going to have to get rid of Glory? Matthew Broderick in the movie Glory is too well portrayed as the white leader of the black brigade or whatever it was during the Civil War. It's not right. It's not. It's accurate. It's historically accurate, but it's not right. Shouldn't have it. We got to get rid of Roots because I'm sure that there's something wrong with that, too. If you want to be offended by anything, you can find a way to be offended by it, especially if you're dumb and you get attention and, you know, glory or whatever it is that the left gives out on these stupid things. And that's what you want. It's their currency, the victimhood. It's better than Bitcoin on the left. So please find some way to victimize me there that I can be a victim. It really should become like a diversity coach, but not in the way that like helps companies get better. I would hire out my services for, I don't know, 20% of the settlement to anybody who wants to sue their company, their government, their any whatever. I mean, at this point, the country's pretty much lost, so to hell with it. And then I will just come in and find something for you to claim victimhood status over. All right, and there you go. They, one time, long before you ever worked here, somebody posted a Ziggy cartoon on the refrigerator in the break room that could now, if interpreted while drunk, could now be seen as offensive. So there you go. Go sue on that. Hostile work environment. Let's do this thing. And you laugh. That's the point of absurdity. But absurdity is where we're headed. Absurdity is where we are in many ways. There is no absurd anymore. You can't make a point. Satire is going the way of the dodo. Read the Babel. You can't even read The Onion anymore. The Onion is now just a left-wing website. That's what they've all become. Eventually, everything becomes a left-wing website. But if you're sitting there and you're watching this stuff, and you go, well, where is good satire? Good satire used to be at the Babylon Bee. It's not anymore. And it's not because the Babylon Bee isn't hilarious, because the Babylon Bee is absolutely hilarious. All they really are now, they're not satire, they're a peek into the future. They apparently can't pick up on lottery numbers, but they can get everything else in the future. They have headline after headline after headline that you used to sit there and go, this is funny, this is great. Yeah. And now you go, yeah, I give this about 3 weeks before this starts happening. I think this will do it. Like, I'm looking at the Onion right now, I pulled it up. And some of their headlines. Mueller suddenly pieces together solution to Russian collusion case while watering plants. Why, how current and topical. Oh, boy, there we go. Another one. Bisexual Superman ruins comics for fan who preferred smoldering homoerotic undertones. All right. Congrats. That's the best you got. I don't get it. Liberalism ruins everything. It rots the brain, it rots the body, it rots the soul. And it does so usually with the power of government and generally funded with our tax dollars. So sad, so pathetic. All right. In other news, we got vaccine news front. Really is amazing. Kyrie Irving I don't know anything about him. I assume he's a good basketball player. He plays in the NBA, so he's better than we are. Let's just be honest. You and me, not as good as Kyrie Irving. But I think he's a star because he's kind of a name that I vaguely remember having heard before. And there's no reason on earth I would have heard somebody play basketball's name except if, you know, he had been good. He plays with the New Jersey Nets. Well, he played. And I guess it's the Brooklyn Nets now. He played with them. Not anymore. New York Post. Brooklyn Nets have told Kyrie Irving he can't be a part of the he can't be a part-time Net. Irving, refusing to get a COVID-19 vaccine, he has now, he's made his choice. Said ultimately he's made his choice. Said the Nets general manager Sean Marks, who made the decision with team owner Joe Tsai. My job here is to make what we deem as the best choice for the organization. Moving ahead as a whole, they're not always ones that are going to be met with open arms and thumbs up. These are hard decisions. Now, New York, it's my understanding, New York has the very strict, the vaccine requirements. If you're going to work inside, you're going to be inside, you got to have the vaccine, blah, 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 all that stuff. Okay, fine, I suppose. Them's the rules. But basketball teams play half their games in other places. And most of those other places, they have no requirement, no similar requirement. So why would they not say, all right, well, we got Kyrie Irving, we can't have him here at the home games, but we want as good a chance as possible when we go, I don't know, to is there a team in Las Vegas? Go to Utah, we go to Salt Lake City. We got to have Kyrie Irving with us. So we'll cut his salary in half and he'll play half the home games or have the far away game, the away games where he can play. But the team has said no. They're putting the full court press to Kyrie Irving. And Kyrie Irving, so far, he stands to lose $17 million this year. $17 million. Now, he's apparently a hell of a philanthropist, paying like a couple hundred kids' tuitions. He's making like $30 million a year. He funds all sorts of really great-sounding charities. And he's not bending yet. This is what courage looks like. This is what courage of your convictions looks like. It's weird now. It's weird to do this. It's weird to think of anybody doing this in this society, the way things are now. But it is important to have examples like this. I don't know who's going to win ultimately in the end, but to have these examples out there are a good thing, especially for kids, especially for conservatives, quite honestly, because what Kyrie Irving is standing up for is individual rights and common sense. And believe it or not, science. He's already had COVID. Why should I get vaccinated? This, of course, has upset the left to no end because Kyrie Irving has influence over the youth of America. And they have influence. He has influence over the youth of America in a way that a Don Lemon, for example, never will. And thank God that, but never will. So Don Lemon last night in their little handoff segment just went off on a rant about Kyrie Irving and how, oh no, you're free to do that. You got to ruin your life. You're free to make your own decisions. You just got to ruin your... Now imagine this. Imagine if Republicans, conservatives, pro-lifers said, all right, fine. Abortion is legal. You go ahead and have your abortions. But we want to know who's had abortions. We're going to make... there's nothing to be ashamed of, right? We're going to make everybody who had an abortion, we're going to make their name public. And we are going to inundate every company that hires somebody who had an abortion and tell them, you know, we're not going to buy your product anymore. We're not going to use your services anymore. We are going to boycott you. We're going to protest you. We're going to badmouth you on social media. We're going to write bad Yelp reviews. We're going to do all this stuff. But nope, abortion is legal. Now imagine that. The left would pass a brick through their lower extremities, just to put it in a family-friendly way. That's what they would do. And it would be wrong on many levels. But it's exactly what they're doing with mandates and vaccines. We need to know your vaccine status. Tell us your vaccine status. And if you're not, we're going to tell your vaccine status you can't work. Oh, you know, we're not going to do any. You can. You're free to make that choice. You're just fired. You're just evicted. You're just this. You're not allowed to eat here. You're not allowed to do this, that, and the other thing. You apply that same thing to abortion. There are restaurants saying, hey, we've got a database of everybody who's had an abortion. And if you're on it, you don't get to eat here. Imagine the absolute fit they would throw. But so listen to Don Lemon talk about Kyrie Irving last night, and basically saying, to hell with him. Comply or die, as far as I'm concerned.
And everyone has a choice. If he doesn't want to do it, fine. Then he doesn't want to, then he doesn't have to do it. But one then must suffer the consequences of not doing it. And I think in the larger scope of all of this, it is all about, right, America, right, humanity. We're all on team humanity. And we're supposed to be looking out for each other as a team. And as a team, you don't just look out for what is just good for you. You have to look out at what's good for the whole, which is a team, which is America, which is humanity, which is, right, Kyrie Irving's team.
Humanity. It's good for him. You owe it to humanity. That's not exactly how. Actually, what if he believes, as is accurate and correct, that individual rights are what's good for humanity? You go back to collectivism anywhere and everywhere it's ever been tried, that's when you'll find piles of dead bodies. That's where you'll find oppression. That's where you'll find inequity. But the left doesn't care. Obey, damn it, obey. Get on your knees, shut your mouth. Obey. Do what you're told. Learn your place. Don Lemon, of course, because he's never done, wasn't done. He goes on.
The most brilliant thing, you know Myron Roll? Myron Roll is now a doctor, and it was a football player. Actually, the first story that was done on CNN, I did with Myron Roll. Great family he comes from. And he said, he was talking about Kyrie Irving, and I thought it was brilliant. He said, I firmly believe that athletes like him who are intelligent enough to make good decisions on a day-to-day basis to be given the information, the experts clearly at his level, he has to make the decision for himself and his team, he says. And then he goes on to say, as part of that team, they want to fashion themselves to be a championship organization, being vaccinated and making sure that everyone in the organization is vaccinated. And he should follow suit. The best thing he said is, I think the word here is team. He is part of a team. We are all part of teams. You submit yourself to the rules, the regulations, the policies of the collective goal and mission of that team. If you step outside of that, right, and they have the freedom to do so, or he has the freedom to do so, but you are also saying that you are different from the team and you are separate and apart from that team. Do you understand what I'm saying?
Absolutely.
So he can't say like, well, this is my personal thing, and still be a part of that team.
One of us, one of us, one of us, comply or die, conform, conform. Oh, we're all in this together. I, as a human being, as an individual, my conscience will not allow me to do this. It doesn't matter. We all want it. Just come on, man. Do it. Would a real team that invoke the team spirit when you are forcing somebody to do something against their conscience? That's what Don Lemon is missing here, because he doesn't have a conscience. He doesn't have a concern. He doesn't have a care. He doesn't give a damn. But to sit there and force somebody to do something against their conscience, what their conscience dictates, is not about the team, it's about control. It's about totalitarianism. The individual is what matters, and what matters to that individual is what matters. If somebody else has a different opinion, that's fine. There's one side of this equation. That's what individual liberty does. It says, well, we disagree. Well, we're free to disagree. You can have your opinion, I can have mine. Liberalism is comply or die. You are not free to disagree. You can have your own opinions, but you don't get to implement them. I get to implement mine. I get to impose. There's no Think of it in the terms of taxes. Democrats are whining and whining and going, we need to raise taxes. We need this. We need that. We need the other thing. Okay, fine. Well, then how about an exemption for people who don't want to pay higher taxes? How about you do what Massachusetts did? And you say, all right, we cut our state tax rate. Pretty decent amount. But we kept on the old tax forms, the old tax rate, where you can check a box and voluntarily, since you're so many liberals up here, you can voluntarily pay the higher tax rate. You can show everybody else how altruistic you are, how wonderful you are as a human being. You want to go and pay more in taxes to show other rich people that they're greedy. It's the ultimate virtue signal. But it's a ghost town as far as the boxes checked on the tax forms in the state of Massachusetts. It is the least popular option checked on all tax forms. More people give $3 to the presidential reelection fund than choose to pay the higher tax rate. It's weird. Liberals are all about the collective, but they'll only live how they demand you live if you're forced to live that way. And then only maybe. They live to force you to live a certain way, and they don't really want to do it themselves. It's about power. It's not about the end result. It's about power. That's why you shouldn't comply. If you want to do it, if you voluntarily do something, that's not complying. That's not complicity. That's you making a choice. Liberals, Democrats, progressives want to strip you of that choice. It's a very subtle but important difference between the two. I'll shift it up here for a second. Because you sit there and you go, well, the left, they're the party of law and disorder. No law and disorder. They the summer of BLM, 99% of the charges were dropped against everybody. They're all cool. Let's just go. This is awesome. Burn down things, fill your house up with loot from Target, and you'll face no consequences for it. You don't even have to wear a mask. Just go ahead and do it. No prosecutors. If you're arrested for beating a cop, throwing a Molotov cocktail at a cop, you'll get off. They'll drop the charges against you. Well, if you were in Washington, D.C. as a conservative, if your cell phone pinged on January 6th, there's a decent chance on a tower in Washington, D.C. near the Capitol, there's a decent chance that at least one FBI agent, probably a team of them, will show up at your house going, you were a violent domestic extremist. You were at this event, weren't you? Are you now or have you ever been a member of the Republican Party? It is complete fascism. And I got this audio, Joy Reid, ironically named Joy Reid, talking about the people from January the 6th. Oh, the horrors of January the 6th. I can't wait for the Ken Burns documentary where they read letters from members of Congress going, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez writes, in like and stuff, I was totally scared and stuff. I thought they were going to come and get me and stuff. The therapy continues and stuff. But it'll be like Sam Elliott or Morgan Freeman reading the letter. Joy Reid is mad that the people who are charged with trespassing, believe me, if there was more that they could throw at these people, they would throw at these people. There's no question. They throw the book at them. They throw extra pages at them. They're throwing as much as they can at them. The problem is that what they really did was trespass. And that's not that big of a deal, especially to people who hate the concept of private property. Just saying. And so the Justice Department has admitted that they don't really have a whole lot of cases against these people because most of them weren't violent. Most of them weren't destructive. A lot of them were invited into the building and walked in opened doors. Joy Reid is mad that people aren't getting more time. And then at the end, she basically comes out and says, and I'm mad that Donald Trump exists. Listen to this. It's a very short clip, but it lets you know how rabidly unhinged the left has become.
And I would add the weakness of the courts, Maya. I mean, we just had somebody sentenced, one of these capital insurrectionists, which you get 14 days in jail. These sentences have seemed very light. The resistance from the DOJ has seemed very weak. It is part of the problem here is that there haven't, and Donald Trump is still walking around.
Donald Trump is still walking around, too. Why doesn't somebody pop a cap in his ass? Why doesn't somebody go arrest him? Why don't they throw him in jail? They're only getting 14 days if trespassing for being someplace they shouldn't be. Now, Joy Reid and the rest of her liberal cabal do what when it comes to criminal justice, when it comes to actual criminals? Beat the hell out of an Asian lady standing on the street corner, something like that. But anyway, we have an over-criminalization problem in this country. People are being thrown, particularly black and brown people, are being thrown into prisons at an alarming rate. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. It's just wrong. Yeah, well, they shot a guy. That's all right. Doesn't matter. Like in Chicago, the shootout between two gang members. Oh, they were both shooting at each other. Who's to say who's to blame? No charges against anybody. That probably gave Joy Reid the warm and cozies as she went to sleep that night, going, oh, yeah, there are now at least 10, you know, people willing to shoot willy-nilly at other human beings in the city of Chicago out there. What could possibly go wrong in Murder City? But if you walk through an open door on January the 6th, my God, she's already got the guillotine set up. Why don't you just go and put your neck in there? Why don't you shut up and obey? These people are awful creatures. They're awful human beings. They deserve bad things to happen to them. And I mean that in the nicest possible way, which is in no way at all. Just, well, only 14 days. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Well, there was the 10 people shooting at each other. 3 people were shot in Chicago. No charges whatsoever. Joy Reid hasn't said a word about it. Oh, by the way, speaking of liberals preaching, yesterday CNN did a whole bunch of, George Clooney called Donald Trump a knucklehead, and CNN convened panels to discuss this, along with other Trump-related. Trump isn't president anymore. Get over it. But ask yourself this question, because this was the issue du jour not that long ago. While CNN spent yesterday talking about Donald Trump this and Donald Trump that, how many missing women of color and indigenous people, black and brown women, went unnoticed? How many went unreported on? Remember when that was like two weeks ago when the blonde girl disappeared? And like, oh, well, we're only covering this because she's blonde and attractive. Like, no kidding. But, oh, no, we've got to do better. Racism in society. Like, everything is completely up to you. It's your domain completely. It has nothing to do with us. We're the viewers. You're the producers. So how many women of color and indigenous women missing did the media ignore yesterday while CNN spent hours and hours and hours talking about Donald Trump this, Donald Trump that? They're raging hypocrites and horrible, horrible bad people. Just saying. Okay, now I want to shift gears here a little bit and talk about, well, let's talk about Nancy Pelosi scolding the media. This is hilarious. I love this. Everyone, they let it out. They're getting so comfortable with each other now, with their biases. Used to be they would tell you, absolutely not, there's no bias. We are nothing but the most honest people. We're the honest broker. We're the referees. We would never choose a side that would be wrong. It goes against the ethics of our profession. How dare you even suggest such a thing, you monster? To, yeah, all right, we kind of all know we're on the same team. So much so that the Weeble over at CNN, God, that guy has the lowest rated show on cable television, Brian Stelter. Terrible. Just an awful, awful, joyless human being who deserves horrible ratings and to be fired, quite frankly. But you're out there and you're going, this guy will just take a giant dump on Fox News for an hour on his show. It's all his show is clips of Fox News. It's like the worst Mystery Science Theater 3000 ever. We're like, we've got the least creative, least funny people on the planet here talking about what Tucker Carlson said. Oh, okay. That sounds horrible. Sounds like something that you'd get, you know, next to nothing in the demo on. Congratulations, I suppose. But he sits there and even he says, we are biased. We are unbiased. But this past weekend, he did say, why isn't there a New York Times of the right? And you're like, wait a second, did you just admit that the New York Times is of the left? See, Brian Stelter isn't all that bright. And so, yes, he did just admit that the New York Times is of the left. After insisting, and the New York Times still insists, no, 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 we're just honest brokers. Give me a break. So anyway, Nancy Pelosi at a press briefing in the U.S. Capitol. I have a nice picture of myself at this very podium, standing up there pointing like I'm taking, like, you next for the, when I was a press secretary, except it wasn't during a press conference because that's not what press secretaries do outside of movies. And it was just when my sister was visiting and I took her in there so we'd get a picture. What was it the hell I was watching? Oh, I watched The Falcon and the Winter Soldier on Disney Plus, the Marvel thing. And it's just another example of how ignorant we are of civics in this country. There's a character there. I'm not gonna go into it because most of you don't know what it is. But there's a character in there who was in exile, who was on the run, who was viewed as being perhaps an enemy of the people because she had helped Captain America and the gang during the Civil War that they had amongst themselves. And she helped the Winter Soldier and the new Captain America, who was the Falcon, in their fight against the bad guys, even though she's secretly the bad guy. I guess there's your spoiler. And at the end, she's talking to a bunch of senators, and the senator says, we'd like to issue you, or we'd like to offer you a pardon. And she goes, oh, I'd love to have this pardon, and to not have to be on the run anymore. Did you guys know that I wasn't bad, and blah, 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 even though she was bad. And he goes, we'd also like, there's an opening in our government's spy agency or whatever, and we want to give you that job. And I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, who in the writer's room thinks that senators can grant pardons, that the Senate can grant pardons? And you sit there and you go, okay, well, we are a nation of people who sadly are by and large wildly ignorant about how our government works. And this is just it's a small example, but it's a prime example of how this comes to be. When you sit there and you go, name the three branches of government, and you go, Larry, Curly, and Moe, like, I have no idea. It's kind of a problem. And it's pretty basic, quite frankly, to go, okay, the president grants pardons, period, end of story, that's it. Read how this all works. And the Senate does not handle hiring for the intelligence community, for the spy agencies. It just doesn't. Anyway, Nancy Pelosi, back to Nancy Pelosi. It just drove me, I was sitting there watching that. It was like near the end of the series, in the last episode, the end of the, near the very end. And I'm like, God, this is stupid. It was already kind of bad to begin with, but this was wildly stupid on top of it, and it ruined it for me. Anyway, Nancy Pelosi, at the press conference, she's asked about, you know, look, the people aren't really behind your garbage bills. Things aren't going well. You're not doing a very good job of selling it, because mostly their selling of it, their attempted selling of these bills is pass them or you're racist. So you're sitting there and you go, that's not exactly the best sales pitch ever. Nancy Pelosi says, no, 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 you in the media, you've got to do a better job of selling it.
Do you think you need to do a better job at messaging, and going forward, how do you sell this if ultimately you have to
fire back? Well, I think you all could do a better job of selling it, to be very frank with you, because every time I come here, I go through the list. Family medical leave, climate, the issues that are in there. And but it is true, it is hard to break through when you have such a comprehensive package.
Oh, yeah, no, I think you all need to do a better job of selling this. But it's hard to sell when you have such a comprehensive Hey, here's an idea, Nan, hear me out. Don't make a massive 2,500-page, $3.5 trillion bill. Do a one-page bill, piece of legislation on each of the issues so that the American people know what their government is doing. Did you ever notice, aren't you ever getting tired of your government coming along, passing these massive bills, and then for weeks, sometimes years, they go, well, now there's this horrible thing that government is doing. And you go, where the hell did that come from? Oh, remember that monster piece of legislation they put in? Yeah, it was on page, you know, 1807. You know, oh, okay. Well, shouldn't we have known that? Why, this is an infrastructure bill. What does it have to do with providing, quote, child care? What does that have to do? Well, it's human infrastructure. No, it's not. Unless you're building roads out of people. Actually, I probably shouldn't give the left many ideas. They might like to do something sick like that. But you got to do a better job of selling this than I do. I'm doing it. You just do what you're told. And you sit there and you go, oh, man, she's out of touch. No. You watch the coverage in the next couple of days and see if you don't see a slight tone shift of a little bit friendlier, a little bit less Dems are in disarray, and a little bit more, here's what this bill will do for you. If you want these wonderful, wonderful things, then go and get your member of Congress on the phone and tell them you want this. That's what happens. That's the way it works. Oh, man. I'm gonna end there just because I'm distracted. And it's been an hour. And, you know, I fully planned on doing a lot about Captain Kirk going into space, which I think is freaking awesome. And it sounds like he had a blast, which I also think is awesome. And I also don't think I'd ever really want to go to space. But yeah, I think it's pretty damn cool that in my lifetime, a guy long before I was born was playing a character on television, and he actually got to go to space. How cool is that? A testament to American greatness, because this is the only country ever where that could have happened. Anyway, we'll be back tomorrow, hopefully a snot-free edition. Hoping the kids get rid of the cold. Bailey seems to be doing good, but Quinn, today was her first. Yesterday she didn't have anything, so today was her first day and hopefully her last day, hopefully her worst day. She didn't sleep very well last night either, which means I didn't sleep very well because she came in and kept waking me up. Anyway, thank you guys for listening. I appreciate it. Don't forget about patreon.com/DerekHunterPodcast. Go there and enter to win the signed book and subscribe to the Week in Effing Review and all the other things. And we'll do some mini pods up there. Maybe we'll do some video Q&As and whatever. Who knows? The possibilities are endless once I figure out how to make the damn thing work. I appreciate you listening. Have a great one.